good to see everyone this morning. What an honor. Again, to come and dwell in His presence and sing of His goodness. He's so good to us. He is good. In the morning, I'll sing. He's good. In the evening, I added my own little version to it. In my troubles, I'll sing you good. In my battles, I'll sing you good. In all my circumstances, I still sing you good. Listen, that's what this Torah portion is giving him, our shekel. That's what he wants to know. Are you ready? In your battles, in your circumstances. Listen, anybody can sing when everything is going good. Yeah, that you have no problem. We have. I'm not going to say y'all, we. I got to include myself. Can't just say y'all. We have no problem with singing when everything is good. But let a little circumstance, let a little bump in the road get in our way, and our singing gets a little low. We start singing underneath our breath, maybe even a little mumbling. No. We got to be able to sing, "You are good," even in my circumstances, even in my battles. Listen, life, that's what it throws at you. We just got to be okay with it. We got to know that the one we serve is bigger than our battles, bigger than our circumstances, bigger than our troubles. He's good in all that. All of it, amen? He's good to us. Let me get started. Torah, teaching, understanding Yah's likes and His dislikes. This Torah portion just keeps getting better and better every single week. Every single week it gets so good, so refreshing. It shows me what I need to sharpen in my life. It shows me where I'm lacking at in my life. That's what it does, and I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful that I want to give Him my all. Just like He gave our, the whole shekel thing, that's what it's bringing out. He wants you to give your all. He wants you to be counted because He wants to know if He can count on you when things happen. When we're ready to go in the battle, He wants to know He can count on you. Amen? It's good to us. We're Torah portion number 21. Kitase, Hebrew for when you rise up or when you lift up. In the Torah is Exodus 30, 11. Through 34, 35, half to a 1 Kings 18, 20 through 39. I won't read the topics. I'll get down to where we stopped last night. And we was talking about the Omer and what it equals up to, and basically it's right. This last thing I read last night is, I hope you are able to see the powerful picture of the perfect work of our Master who has redeemed us and paid the fee for us to be registered in Him. That was the whole kind of, it took a shift from trying to explain what the shekel and what the homer and what the omer meant. And count it worthy in Him to serve as a priesthood and be equipped to be the dwelling place of the Most High. And what equips us is Torah. His Torah is what equips us to be counted, to be ready for battle. He doesn't send us in battle not giving us the things we need to know how to get out of the situation that might come our way. The Torah explains to us every single time, every battle we face, every circumstance you get in, the Torah tells you how to get out of it. It tells you how you got in it. That's the good part about it, too. Not only it tells you how to get out of it, it lets you know how you got yourself in there, what you didn't do or what you should have done. It does that for you. It explains all that to you. So this is where we, right here. Back to Exodus 30. From verse 15, we're also able to learn that we are to regard each other the same and not pay more attention to those who are better dressed. I mean, we think of each other the same. We don't look at this one, oh, he's dressed this way, he's dressed that way. This one, If your bank account is big, you sit on this side. Your bank account is small, you sit on this side. If you ain't dressed with a suit or a tie, if you come in here with jeans, you got to sit in the back. No, it's not what it's telling us. You don't act like that. Yeshua never acted like that way. Never. He says, so are you to regard each other the same and not pay more attention to those who are better dressed over those who may not have the means to have the latest fashions? Listen, he don't look at that nonsense anyway. He's not looking at what you're wearing. He's worried about what's in your heart. He's worried about what your heart looks like, how well-dressed that is, his tabernacle, the inside. He could care less about the outside appearance. That's what the world wants you to look at. The world looks at people that way. If you ain't dressed this way, you can't come to my party. They want to put attires. You got to dress a certain way. You ain't got to, listen, you can come to his party and you can be dressed the way you want. Well, to an extent. to an extent. Let me rephrase that. You can't be dressed the way you want. You know? But some people can put some stuff on. You know? Just dress appropriate. But he doesn't care about all that nonsense. He don't care how you look, how your hair look, if you're bald-headed. He don't care about all that. He cares about what's in that heart. That's what I want. That's what I want dressed. Yaakov tells us in James 2, 1 through 9, my brothers, do not hold the belief of our master Yeshua Messiah, the master of esteem, with partiality. For if there should come into your meeting a man with gold rings in a splendid robe, and there should also come in a poor one dressed in rags, and you pay attention to the one wearing the splendid robe and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor one, you stand here or sit here by my feet. Help us, Father. Help us. We need it. I need it. Is it safe to say been there, done that? You probably didn't say it. You might have thought it. Might have felt it. I don't want to be that way. Help me not to ever be that way ever again. Don't want to show partiality. Because sometimes it's the one that's not dressed the best that's giving it their all. And the ones that's dressed all pretty is sitting stagnant. It has nothing to do with the outer appearance. All has to do with your heart. Have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with wicked thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has Elohim not chosen the poor of this world? In his eyes, we are all poor. Why? Because we don't have enough money to pay our ransom. We didn't have nowhere near enough money. The richest man in the world, who's got the most money in this? Not in this place in the world. What's his name? Just a couple of them, whoever they are. Don't have enough money to pay their ransom. I don't care how much money you have, how much money they have. He chosen the poor of this world. I'm so glad he chose me. So glad he chose me. Poor. Rich in belief and heirs of the reign which he promised to those who love him. What we got to be? Rich in belief. I don't need all this fancy stuff. I just got to be rich in belief because that's who he's chosen. He's chosen the rich in belief. And heirs of the reign, which he promised to those who love him. Heirs of the reign, his reign. Listen, I have it all if I have him. I lack nothing. My Father owns everything. Everything. I'm heir to the reign. Think about that. That's got to do something for you. To know that you heirs to the reign, to the man, to the Father, Yehovah, who owns everything, who has nothing but the gold and the silver. But you have shown disrespect towards the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Somebody say they're the first ones to do that. The rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that good name by which you are called? If you truly accomplish the sovereign law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin. Sin comes in many forms, many fashions. Partiality, you committing sin. Think about it. Being found guilty by the Torah as transgressors. What does the judging? Right here. All you got to do is go to, look, let this be the final say-so. Let this have the final answer. We don't have to give the final answer all the time. We want to, though. We want to be the one that had the last say-so. Let's just open this. Let this tell us. It'll tell you where you're sinning and where you're not sinning. You show impartiality, you're sinning. The half shekel would be used for the service of the tent of appointment. And therefore, this money would not be accumulated from year to year, but be used for the necessary service in the tabernacle, in the general upkeep of it, and by the time of Shlomo's temple, whatever was left would be used to repair walls and streets in Jerusalem, and the roads that led there, to make the pilgrim's journey easier or smoother. And this shows how we too are to be offered up for different needs, as we bring our contributions and gifts, and that every year we make a smoother road for who? For others. Loving our neighbors like we love ourselves. We want a smooth road. Listen, we didn't make the smooth road. Who made it for us? Yeshua made that smooth road for us. So in return, we should be doing the same thing, making that smooth road for others. Not trying to make it hard for them. Not trying to make it difficult. Listen, life alone is difficult and hard. They live in the same world you live in. Make that smooth road for them. If you can do something to make life a little easier for somebody, this is what the Torah teaches you to do. Make it a little easier for them. Not, oh, they're going to learn like I learned. Let them go through it. I had to go through it. No. You're showing partiality. You're committing sin according to the Torah. If you have the means to make it easy for someone. That's giving it your all, by the way. To join in and become a part of what is being built up in Messiah. This shekel was not a part of the tithes and was not related to status or income, but was symbolic of giving your all. There are many in the body today who only give some of themselves as they deem is necessary according to their own standard. That's where we get ourselves in trouble. Because we want to do it to our own standard, our standard. My standard is this, my standard is that. No. Let your standard be this. Let your standard be his standard. And you won't feel that way. You won't get yourself in trouble. But no, it's when we want to be, when we want to put our own standards, our 2 cents. Who only give some of themselves as they deem is necessary according to their own standard. While there are few who give of their whole being.
It is when we are all given our all that the building of the tabernacle or the dwelling place of Elohim, which we are, makes huge progress. It's when we all give in our all. If you're giving in your all, don't worry about if this person is not giving in their all, because that's when you're going to say, well, they're not giving their all. Why I got to give my all? Let me pull back a little bit. Let me get in a little idle mode. Let me go half throttle. It's not what the Torah teaches. You give your all. If you're able to give your all. Don't worry about the next person if he's not, they're not giving their all. You want to make progress? Give your all. And pray for the one that's not giving them their all. Just pray for them. Father, strengthen them. Give them the strength they need to give their all. I don't know what they're going through. You know. But I'm asking you just to give them strength. Help them. Equip them. Then we'll make huge progress. Where? In the building, the tabernacle. In his dwelling place. We give our all knowing that Messiah gave his all and paid our ransom price. And so now we therefore belong to him and we are not our own. We got to get that in our mind. We got to let that sink in. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. No, you're not. When you give him your all, you belong to him. Listen, he paid your ransom. You didn't pay your ransom, so you're not your own. You don't belong to you. I don't belong to Josh. I belong to him. Remember, Josh was poor. I couldn't have paid, even if I had all the monies. Money. I say monies because I know it bothered them a little bit. Even if I had all the money, I couldn't pay that ransom. It took Messiah to pay that ransom. I don't belong to me. I belong to him. I belong to Messiah. I belong to Yehovah. I'm not my own. It takes maturity to give of yourself. You got to be mature. You got to put away the childish things. Kids act like that. They're not doing it. Well, I'm gonna do it. I did it yesterday. It's their turn or her turn or his turn. No, it's all our turns. Every single day. Give it your all. Called growing up, being an adult. Shaul says it best. When I was at 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned as a child. You ever been reasoned with a child? A child ever reasoned with you? And that's how we come to the Father. We want to reason with him. Like he's going to reason back. No. He don't reason. If his word is his word. You do it if you want. I'm not making you. It's your responsibility. You choose what you want to do. You choose to be obedient or not. I'm not going to make you be obedient. It's up to you. But I'm also not going to change my word for you or no one. Listen, he didn't change it for his own son. What makes you think he's going to change it for me and you? How dare we even think that? We want to reason with the Father? Ain't no reason with him. You either do it or you don't. But he advises you to do it. You want to be blessed? You do it. You want to be cursed? Go ahead and don't do it. Go ahead and keep trying to reason. See how far that gets you. But when I became a man and woman, I did away with childish matters. Got to put away the childish matters. The childish questioning. Got to put all that away. We became men and women. Listen, that's the whole part of putting your shekel where I can count on you. 20-year-old and above. I don't want to count on no child. I want to count on men and women who done made their mind up that I'm going to give you my all. Put away childish matters. I mean, no, we still got that going on in the church today. We haven't really fulfilled this scripture. In here, we still got some childish matters sometimes. Help us. Amen. Help us. All of us. I'm not saying y'all, I'm including myself. Childish matters. Put it away. There are so many today who are way over 20 years. Way over 20 years. Of age. Fighting age. Yet through their childish actions, or rather the lack of true obedience, they are actually unable to be counted. See what happens when you hold on to those childish matters? Those childish thinkings, childish reasonings, childish speaking. You are not able to be counted. Among those who take a stand and fight the good fight as their lives are not giving wholeheartedly over in bringing their part in the service of the body of Messiah. It is time for the body to rise up and be counted and start to do their part. It is time for the body, meaning the whole, all of us, no individual. Unity is together. It's time for the body to rise up and be counted and start to do their part. Why? I mentioned this last night. Because we are in a war. We're not in the party. This ain't no holiday. We're not in picnics. We are in a war. The adversary wants your life every single day. Every single day. When we're not together in unity, that's when he comes and attack those. The ones that's left behind. The one that don't want to keep up with the fool. That's the one he's going to attack. Remember where Amalek attacks? From the back. The feeble, the weak, the old. He's not going to attack the strong. The ones that's in the front. Locking arms with each other. Time for us to stand up, rise up, and be counted. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For indeed, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. What? The first elements of the word of Elohim. And you have become such as need milk and not solid food. You're still on the bottle. When you should be eating steak. That's what this word is. This word is steak. You think of the best steak you ever ate? Right here. That's the Torah. The best steak you ever ate. So nutritious to the body. Strengthens the body. It gives the body the nutrients that it needs. It waters the body. It does all that for you. But no, you're still on the milk. For everyone partaking of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. I ain't got to do my babe expressions, huh? Because I will if I have to. You know I will. I love doing my expressions. But you're still a babe. Still a little whiny. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go on. But solid food is for the mature, whose senses have been trained. You got to train your senses. To train by practice to discern both good and evil. Because if you don't train your senses, you're only going to know one or the other. You got to train them to know both good and evil. So many today want to be the teachers and leaders and think that they can call the shots. That's right there. They want to be the one to call the shots. If it was me, I would do this. If it was me, I would do that. It's all about, you know, I'm the man. That's what the flesh wants. You want to call a shot. Yet through the witness of their lives or lack thereof, we see that they are still, in fact, babies that are still drinking milk, while they ought to have become mature by now and able to teach. Yet sadly, they simply are immature and inexperienced in the word of righteousness and will often throw tantrums like a child. When they do not get their way, while they have not surrendered their lives wholeheartedly and have not submitted themselves to being the half, so to speak, but rather try to be the whole. Do your part. He's asking you to do half. But somehow you want to do whole when you should have done just half. We ain't got to try to outdo each other. That's not how the body works. If everybody just do their part, do their half, huge progress. But we can throw them tantrums. This one's not doing that. That one's not doing that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. The Father is tired of hearing that nonsense. Tired of it. But rather try to be the whole as they think only of themselves and not of the whole body or community that they're supposed to be a part of. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking, but in evil be babes. And in your thinking be perfect. So if you want to act like a babe, act like an evil. If you want to be a babe. What it ultimately comes down to is this. It is the dwelling place of Yehovah that should be the only thing worth fighting for. And we together are his dwelling place. And whatever we do, whether in word or deed or in prayer, must be done in Messiah. And be for the best of the whole body. And be for the best of the whole body. When you stop worrying about me, and worry about others a little bit more than you worry about yourself, that's when you become the best of the whole body. Think about what they might be going through. Think about where they might come a little short up in things. And when you got plenty of it, how can I help them? Why? Because when we're better together. We make huge progress when we're better together. Put this me on the side and be for the best of the whole body. That is Yisrael, of which both you and I are part of. And collectively, we all must be willing to give over our all unto Yehovah. Collectively. collectively, we got to be willing to give our all. All will most likely bring some, but only some will bring their all. All will most likely only bring some, but only some will bring their all. Which are you? Are you the one, are we the one that's going to bring our all, or are we the one that's going to just bring our some? Even if we all bring some, you still don't get the job done. If we decide to all bring just some, guess how much of it going to get done? Some. But when we bring our all of it get done. Quick. All of it gets done on time. We should all bring all we have. We should all bring all we have. When Dawid counted his fighting men without the payment of the half shekel, we are able to see the effects of this that resulted in 70,000 men who died from Dan to Beersheba. And I gave those two accounts in 1 Chronicles 21 let you know that it wasn't Jehovah's dealing. I should have said that last night, but I kind of left them hanging. But it was brought to my attention. 1 Chronicles let you know who was the culprit behind these 70,000 men dying. 1 Chronicles 21. 2 Samuel 24 let you know that David started counting people and he shouldn't have been counting them and caused a plague and caused 70,000 to die, but it was the adversary. The adversary in 1 Chronicles, let you know, it was the adversary that got Dawid's thinking all off track and made him start counting people instead of counting the shekel. This you can read about in 2 Samuel 24. 2 Samuel 24 and 1 Chronicles 21. Go read them. As we have seen in the previous Torah portion, silver represents redemption in the pure word. And the purest silver does not tarnish. However, when another substance is added to silver to make an alloy, it causes the silver to tarnish. It's the truth, too. You can go buy you this old pretty chain, silver, shiny. It'll tell if it's real. Your neck will be green. Or your wrist, your finger, whatever you put it on. If it ain't real, it's going to tell. The fruit will bear. You'll be walking around with a ring around your neck. Look like somebody choked you. It'll be green. But if it's pure, it'll stay. It'll stay shiny. Won't mess with your skin. We cannot give unto Yehovah a mixed worship. Oh boy. That claims to fight the good fight while compromise is easily overlooked and not guarded against. We cannot give unto Yehovah mixed worship. And compromise is easily overlooked and not guarded against. You can't compromise. If the word said it, you do it. If it said don't do it, you don't do it. You don't compromise. That's not what it means to me. You're right. But what it means to him. His word is pure silver. His word is only tarnished when we want to add our 2 cents in it. Like he needs help. Let me adjust that a little bit, Father. You go ahead and play with it if you want. You're going to walk around with a green neck. That's what's going to happen. It is all or nothing. Hopefully after today, we see how important it is that we give him our all. And not just half of it. It's either our all or nothing. He don't want nothing else. If we can't give him our all, we are not counted for fighting material. You're not ready for his army if you're not giving him your all. I mentioned about the Navy SEALs last night. Those guys give it their all. Guess what? The ones that don't give it their all, they don't make it. You going back in training. You got to give it your all. We got to give him our all or we're not counting. We're not fit. The half shekel is a contribution. The Hebrew word that is translated as contribution in verse 13, 14, and 15 is teruma. Strong's H8641. And is translated as contribution, offering for set apart use, voluntary contribution. This word is used in Scripture to describe the contributions that are taken up as voluntary offerings. And we are therefore able to see how we too are to give our all as a voluntary offering. What does voluntary mean? Means he's not asking you for it. Means that you are willingly to give to him. You willingly. That's what voluntary means, willingly. You don't have to ask, I'm going to volunteer my time. Nobody have to ask you, no, I'm going to volunteer it. Listen, Yeshua volunteered his life. He gave it willingly. When the Father asks, who can he send? Voluntarily, me. He stood up. He gave it his all. You can count on me. I'm giving my half shekel. I'm going to die for it. That's giving it y'all. And all he wants is for me to be obedient. I said that last night too. He's not asking me to die. He's asking just to be obedient. Just love me with everything that is in you. Serve me with everything that is in you. Without compromise. Give me your all. A voluntary offering. In order to be counted in Messiah, for he himself gave of himself freely in order for us to be counted. He didn't do it for him. He didn't give his all for him. He didn't have to. He was already counted. He gave it for me to be counted. He gave it for you to be counted. The Hebrew word for offering, teruma, Strong H8641, in the ancient pictograph text looks like this. We don't get a long one very often, but this was pretty long. The Tav, the ancient of this letter, meaning two cross sticks. It was a type of a mark as being displayed by two cross sticks and has the meaning of mark, sign, or signature, or identification. Used as a marker to identify people, places, or things. It can also carry the meaning of seal or covenant. The Resh, the ancient script has this letter pictured as the head of a man and carries the meaning of top, beginning, first, and chief, as in being the top of the body or the head of a tribe and the one who rules, and also speaks of possessions or inheritance that is decided by the chief. Our true life of praise unto Yehovah, our head, begins when we fear him, for he is the beginning of our strength, and true separated praise entails a true fear of the one who is chief over us. Our separated praise entails a true fear, a true reverential fear. Not giving him the honor, giving him the glory that he deserves. the Vav. This is the Hebrew letter Vav, which in the ancient script is pictured as a peg or a tent peg, which was used for securing or tying the tent or other items. The possibility of it having a Y shape is to show that it prevents the rope from slipping off. The root meaning of this letter is to add, secure, or hook, as well as bind. The Mem. The ancient script has this letter and is pictured as water, and also carries the meaning of chaos from the storms of the sea, and can also picture that which is mighty or massive, as well as the unknown. We are also able to understand this letter as representing the nations, for the nations are often likened to seas in Scripture. Knowing this letter represents water, we are also able to see how this can render for us the meaning of washing or cleansing. The He. The original pictograph of this letter is a man standing with his arms raised out. The meaning of this letter is behold, look, breathe, sigh, and reveal or revelation. From the idea of revealing a great sight by pointing it out, it also carries for us the meaning of surrender as we lift our hands and submit to Yehovah, as we lift our hands in praise, declaring his authority under which we humbly submit. When we consider these pictures that make up the word teruma, Strong's H8641, giving us the meaning of offering, contribution, offered by lifting, we can further see how this word shows us unto whom it is that we give our lives as a daily offering. The seal of the covenant as given through our head has been sealed in his blood that washes us from our sin and equips us to lift up our hands and offer our lives continually before him. Because of his blood, we are equipped to be able to lift our hands and give him the praise and honor that he deserves. Continually. Continually do that. Meaning day after day after day after day after day, you continually give him the praise that he deserves. Verse 14 makes it clear that everyone passing over to be a register from 20 years old and above gives a contribution to Yehovah. And this emphasizes the lesson that all who have passed over are required to give a contribution. This means that all who have called on the name of Yehovah have been immersed in his name and have been grafted into the covenant of promise by the blood of Messiah are now required to give a contribution, which, as we have clearly discussed, means give your all. That's your contribution. Give him your all. That's all he wants. He don't want your money. He just wants you. He wants all of you. That's our contribution. Some people think they can just buy their way. The ones that's got squirrely thinking and plenty of money, they think if they put enough in that basket or in that envelope, that they're good. He don't care about that. He don't need that. He has everything. He wants all of you. That's my contribution. Give him my all. That's what he wants. The contribution of the half shekel was given to make atonement. And while we have discussed the clear significance of the half shekel, it worth taking note of the Hebrew word that are used here in verses 15 and 17 for atonement. The Hebrew word that is translated as atonement in verse 15 is the root verb kafar, Strong's H3722, which means to cover over, pacify, make propitiation, and atone. And the Hebrew noun that is derived from this root and is translated as the atonement, as in the silver for the atonement in verse 16, is written as ha-kapikarim, the atonement. This is the plural for the noun kapor, Strong's H3725. And as a noun, it can also carry the meaning of a ransom, gift, or to secure favor. The root word kafar, Strong's H3722, literally means to cover over or smear with pitch, as in the sealing of a ship. Therefore, kafar or atonement means to cover that which is bare or naked or shame. And also means to smear the ship so that the ship will not sink and drown all those aboard. So glad that he was our kafar. Because listen, we was on a sinking ship. And if it wasn't for him to come and cover and put that pitch over it, we all drowned. There was no hope for us. We was going down to the bottom. But here comes that pretty white boat called grace that Yeshua was driving. So thankful for his atonement. So thankful. Just think about the last time you might have been going down. I remember the last time I was going down. And I don't never ever want to forget it. Because there's nothing fun about drinking water and know that you are about to drown. Nothing fun about that. They say the worst two deaths that you can ever even think of is being burned and drowned. And that's where we was headed. Drowned. We was done. Our ship was sunk. Was sinking. But he came and gave that kapor, that ransom, that gift, that voluntary offering. Think about it. Voluntary gave his life. So I can have life. The understanding of this carries such insight for us as we recognize the work of redemption that our Master has done. In becoming the atonement for us and covering us in his blood so that we may be counted worthy to be built up in him and equipped to stand and fight as a faithful soldier and ambassador of his reign. In Leviticus, where the priestly service and sacrificial system is presented and discussed, the very word we have been looking at, kafar, Strong's H3722, is used 16 times in Leviticus 16 and 48 times in the entire book. 39 times, however, it is used in Leviticus in the specific description of the priestly service and sacrificial system, where the other times are regulation instructions for the day. This is a wonderful representation for us, for it was the exact number of stripes that Yeshua took across his back. Think about that. Coincidence? No. Master plan. Master plan. And it is by his stripes that we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. Listen, if the scripture says by his stripes we are healed, why are we settling for anything less? We got to walk in this. We got to walk in it. We got to claim it. Listen, we got to claim some stuff. We have to do some things. He definitely paid the price for it. We are definitely healed by his stripes, but you got to claim it. You got to walk in it. You got to believe it. By his stripes and his sacrifice, we are covered, cleansed, redeemed, and reconciled to him. The Hebrew word kafar, Strong's H3722, also means to ransom. And so we know that Yeshua has paid our ransom and atoned for us. It is from this root word that we get the Hebrew word kapor, Strong's H3725, which in the Hebrew, which is the Hebrew word for atonement. Atonement means to make ransom for or to cover over man's sins. Atonement means to make ransom for or cover over man's sins. He who knew no sin became sin. He didn't cover his sin because he didn't sin. Cover my sins. Cover our sins. What a ransom that we couldn't have paid. We still can't pay it. The English word for atonement was derived when the translator wanted best to describe what Kippur meant. As there was not a definite English word to describe or translate the meaning of this, and so what he translated it to was at one. Therefore, later being called atonement, at one meant. This was the best way he could express what this day carries for us. It is when we are made to be one with Yehovah and be at one with him and finally be restored unto him as a washed and purified body together as one. So this is also a day where we truly come and remember the ransom that was paid for us by the shed blood of the Pesach Lamb, Yeshua Messiah. Once and for all, the reflect on our lives as to how we are living out our covenant relationship with our Savior, who is not only the Pesach Lamb, but is also the ram that is provided for us and the complete sin offering that covers us and cleanses us in his own blood. The Hebrew word kafar, H37:22, also means to reconcile with someone who has the power of debt over you, and to pacify the one who has the power to do you harm. We must realize that the punishment for sin is debt, and no sin goes unpunished. Through the atonement of Yeshua for our sins, we are reconciled to the one who has the power to put us to death. We are reconciled to the one who has the power to take this very breath that he gives, freely gives to you every single day. So when you wake up in the morning and you get that right there, be thankful. Listen, if he does nothing else for me throughout the rest of the day, I'm thankful for that. What I do with it from there is on me. What I'm going to do with this breath, if I'm going to praise him, or I'm going to complain of what I don't have or what I should have or what I shouldn't have. Or I'm going to give him the glory and honor for what I have and be thankful for what I have. Listen, on our best day, we couldn't pay that ransom. On our best day, the day that we're feeling that I'm the man that day or I'm the woman that day, I'm feeling good about myself, you couldn't have paid your ransom. On your best day. It took his worst day to pay my ransom. What makes me think that on my best day I'm good? When it took his worst day. When we look at this ancient pictograph script's rendering of the words for Kippur, Strong's H3725, atonement, kafar, Strong's H3722, cover, which means cover, and kofar, Strong's H3724, covering, we are able to see a powerful picture of the way which our Master himself opened up for us to be one with him. In the ancient pictograph script, we see the following picture for these three words. The kaf, the ancient form of this letter, meaning the open palm of a hand. The meaning behind this letter is to bend and curve from the shape of a palm as well as to tame or subdue. As one has been bent to another's will under their hand, as an open hand symbolizes submission. This also can picture for us a palm or a palm branch from the curved palm shape. The hand also speaks of one's work or under whose hand you submit and obey. Under whose hand you submit and obey. We're going to submit and obey under something, someone's hand. I want to be under his hand. I don't want to be under no other hand. The pay. This is the letter pay, which is pictured as an open mouth and carries the meaning of speak and blow. From the functions of the mouth, it can have the meaning of scattered by blowing. It can also mean sword or beard, as in things with edges, as well as a region in depicting a place with edges or boundaries. It can also represent that which has been spoken forth from the words of one's mouth and as being established. This can also render for us a picture of that which has been opened in terms of the way that has been opened by the word of Elohim. The Resh. The ancient script has this letter Resh and is pictured as the head of a man and has the meaning of the head of a man as well as the chief, top, beginning, or first. And this letter can mean top as in the top or head of a body and chief as in the head of a tribe or people as well as the one who rules the people. When we consider the significance of these pictures that render the words Kippur, Strong's H3725, and Kafar, Strong's H3722, and Kofar, Strong's H3724, we are able to clearly recognize the powerful working of our Master and Elohim, who has by his own hand opened the way for us to be joined to him, who is our head, and therefore we can see the following. The open hand that opened the way to the head. Our Master revealed his open hand and took the nails in his hand for our sin, in order that we can be cleansed and able to draw near to him and be joined to him, opening up for us the way to eternal life in him. Notice the door he opened up. Eternal life. That's what we're all striving for. That's what we all want. That's the end goal. That's our end goal, is eternal life. To forever be with the Master. That should be our end goal if it ain't. That's the prize. That's the price he paid for us to have that prize. That's the price he paid for us to have that prize. That way we can have eternal goal, eternal life. It wasn't for nothing. He didn't die for nothing. He died for a purpose. He died for a cause. So we can see how serious this really is. This is a serious business. This is a serious matter. This ain't no time to be, this ain't no joking matter. This is serious business when you think about it. The price that was paid for me to have eternal life, he died for that. His stripes, his 39 stripes that he took, the crown of thorns on his head, the sword in his side, the spitting in his face. But you know what? I think really hurt him the most? The denying him. I think that hurt him the most. The denying him. Knowing that what he was going to do, and yet we the whole body, denied him. At some point in our life, we did. We denied him. That hurt the most. When I see the rendering of these pictures with regards to Yom Kippur, I am reminded of the encounter that Thomas had with Messiah. In John 20, 26-29, and after 8 days, his taught ones were again inside, and Thomas with them, Thomas. Yeshua came, the doors having been shut, And he stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, bring your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it in my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my master and my Elohim. My master and my Elohim. Yeshua said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Listen, don't be like a doubting Thomas. He says, you want to be blessed? You believe. Believe that I was nailed to that stake. Believe that I wore a crown of thorns. Believe that I was pierced in my side. But sometimes we want to be from Missouri. You know what they say with that little Missouri state? Huh? They're the show me state. I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. Let's not be from Missouri. Let's just be from Buras. And let's believe that he did that for me. I ain't got to be from the show me state. Am I the only one that heard that? Okay. No. We don't need to be from there. Let's just believe what he did. Why? The scripture says it. The scripture says it. I see what Pastor goes through up here. Man. Let's believe. Why? Because he calls you blessed. Blessed are those who believe that he did that. At the sight of the open hand of the master, Thomas instantly recognized that Yeshua is the only one true master and Elohim, and that by his death and resurrection, his revealed hand opened the way for us to be joined to him, our head. The atonement that was to be made once a year upon the horns of the slaughter place highlights the perfect redemption of our master, hence it being referred to as being most set apart. For all the service and function of the tabernacle would be a collective working unto the most set apart service of atonement, and that is made for a sinful man. We give thanks to our master and high priest, who has offered up his body as the most set apart for all offerings that could ever be made, for the blood of bulls and goats could only cover and not take away sins. But the most set apart blood of Messiah takes away our sins. I like how he said that, the most set apart blood. His blood is none like no other. His blood is not like our blood. His set apart blood takes away sins. The reason for me emphasizing the atonement price and the relevant wording we find in Scripture in terms of our need to be counted in our master is to highlight how important it is for us to be acknowledged, for us to acknowledge, understand, and recognize our need to die to self and give our all unto our master and Elohim and be registered in his body. Our master and Elohim has made atonement for us and paid the price, and through the Hebrew word pictures from the ancient pictograph letters, we are able to see this, silver, another word that reveals through its pictograph rendering, the price paid is the Hebrew word for silver, which is kesef, Strong's H3701, which in translated as silver, money, purchase price. It comes from the root word kosof, Strong's H3700, which means to long for, eager, and shame. Silver speaks of the price Yeshua has paid for us. As we see from this Torah portion, silver was also used in the service of the tent of meeting for the atonement of Yisrael as a remembrance before Yehovah. The tabernacle stood upon sockets of silver. Both Yosef and Yeshua were sold for silver. Yehuda was paid off in silver. As the scripture says, silver is redemption money. Silver is symbolic of the redemption that comes through Yeshua Messiah and Him alone. It prefigures the preciousness of Messiah as the ransom for sinners. Silver also speaks of service in giving of oneself the perfect work of Messiah. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Adam did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. To give His life for a ransom for many. Listen, He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And we see that. We've seen that with the washing of the feet. If anybody's feet should have been washed, it should have been His. But what He showed us how to be a servant. It wasn't all about Him. He died to self. That's what we need to do. We need to die to self. Daily. But somehow we always, always want to put self first. Always. It's always me. Always. What I'm getting, what I'm not getting. But we ought to be what? Followers of Him? This is what He did. He didn't come to be served. He comes to serve. We also see another wonderful picture of the symbolism of silver, as it is also likened to the pure word of Elohim that has been tried. Psalms 12:6. The words of Yehovah are clean words. Silver tried in a furnace of earth, refined 7 times. Says what it says his words is, says the words of Yehovah are clean words, tried in the furnace of earth, refined 7 times. Psalm 66:10. For you, Elohim, have proved us. You are refined. You have refined us as silver is refined. His word is pure. No matter how many times people try to tarnish it, mess with it, cut edges on it, it still don't change. Listen, we need to get back to the pure word. That's what we need to get back to. That's what we are getting back to. Let me rephrase that. That's what we are getting back to, the pure word. We ain't trying to mix nothing with it. We ain't trying to compromise with it. It says what it says, we're going to do what it says. We're going to love what it says for us to do. In the above 2 verses from Tehillim, from Psalm, it is worth looking at a couple of words. The Hebrew word translated as try is safar, Strong's 86884, which means to smelt, refine, test, and try. Listen, test everything that is in you. Try everything that is in you. Test it. See if it's true or not. Test everything. Don't just take our word for it who's up here presenting the message. You test it. You go home and look at it. You try it. Don't compromise. Don't try to add to it or take away from it. Just let it be what it is. And let it do what it does. Listen, it works perfectly. It works perfectly. When we just leave it like it is. 2 Samuel 22:31. The L. His way is what? Perfect. The word of Yehovah is proven. He is a shield, to all who take refuge in him. The one thing we can be sure of is that the word of Jehovah is proven and trustworthy. We're able to fully trust his word, for it is the only word that can be trusted. It is the only word that can be trusted. Meaning, don't trust what we say. Don't trust what someone else says. Somebody's quick to tell you, trust me. No, brother. I'm not trusting you. Not at all. The only word that can be trusted is his word. How many times have you found that the words of friends, families, colleagues, and even strangers have failed to meet up what they have spoken? How many times has a family member failed to live up to their word? How many times you have failed to live up to your word? How many times I have failed to live up to my word? He lived up to his word. Still living up to his word. Never changed. Never failed. Never come up short. The word of Jehovah never fails. Never. We fail. We don't stay true to our word. He does. He stayed true to it. It is because of this fact that we are able to find complete refuge in him. It is because of this fact that we are able to find complete refuge in him. How refreshing is this word? You want to fall in love with this word. The only trustworthy word. Think about it. Only trustworthy is his. And let's not forget, it's proven. He can back it up. He can prove what he says is true. He can prove what he done. And what he will continue to do. Can we prove what we done? We didn't do nothing. We made a mess of our life. That's all we did. We can prove one thing. How we can mess up our life. We can definitely prove that. But he can prove how he can fix it. And how he did fix it. He can prove that. The Hebrew word that is translated as refined is zakah, Strong's H22.12, which means to refine, purify, and distill. Malachi 3:3, and he shall sit as a refiner and a cleanser of silver, and he shall cleanse the sons of Levi and refine them as gold and silver, and they shall belong to Jehovah, bringing near an offering in righteousness. Jehovah is the one who shall refine and purify us and cause us to be a pure and set apart royal priesthood, who are able to bring near to him an offering of righteousness, having been cleansed in the blood of Messiah and refined by his word. The purest silver does not tarnish. And most silver products we see being used today has an alloy mix of up to 92.5% silver and another metal to make up the rest to produce a product that is a little harder and easier to work with. When looking at this verse above, the concept of silver, pure silver, in the words of Jehovah being clean struck me in a major way. As to what we see happening today, his word is pure and clean and is likened to silver, tried in the furnace of earth and refined totally. There are no other metals therein, and this is just what his word is to us. It is unadulterated truth.
His word is unadulterated. His word is pure. His word is pure. Ain't no mixture in this word. Pure silver. Sadly, we see that in the world today, his word has been tarnished due to the taking away and adding that is forbidden. And so as many dogmas of man, various theologies and doctrines have been formulated, they have each diminished the purity of the silver of his word by stripping it of its worth and adding in other words that twist the purity of the truth. And therefore causes the silver to now become susceptible to becoming tarnished. We did that. We want to add and take away. And therefore, we want to take this pure word and make it to where it's not so pure. Becomes tarnished. Adding to it. Taking away from it. Compromising with it. When this happens, more and more work is required to polish up that which is not pure in an attempt to present it as pure. Ain't that the truth? More and more work. Because then you got to try to retrain people's thinking. Just makes it more and more harder for people to understand. Well, I thought it said this. Well, I thought it meant that. Makes it more and more harder. But if you just leave it like it is, leave it for how he had it, like he made it. Pure. Don't add to it or take away from it. Because then you got all these different type of thoughts and religion and thinking and theologies. You have all this nonsense. Just get back to the pure word. Get back to it. Polish up that which is not pure in an attempt to present it as pure. Through the institution of programs and formulas of worship that is contrary to the design and service of the tabernacle. For us to be a tabernacle for his spirit to dwell, we cannot have a tarnished word that has manipulated the purity of it in order to control the masses. But rather we need to strip away from the impurities of false traditions and lies and turn back to the pure truth. Then we will be built up according to his pattern shown. That's why his word is so mixed right now. Because the people want to control the masses. They want to compromise. You start preaching the truth, you're going to lose a lot of members. You start telling them things that they can't do and should be doing, you're going to lose a lot of members. So what do? They add they mixture to it. They tarnish it. Because we want the numbers. Yeshua wasn't worrying about numbers. He wasn't worrying about numbers. Listen, he only took 12. To follow him. 12. We got more than 12 in here. Listen, and the 12 had trouble following him. You think he was worrying about numbers? He could care less about numbers. He wasn't worrying about numbers. He wanted you all. He wanted you to deny mother, father, brother, sister, mom, dad. You give up all. What he told the rich young ruler? Give up all and come follow me. He wants all. Yeah, I'm going to stop, brother. He's about to give me a new CD. That was fast.
But we'll stop right here. His spirit to dwell, we cannot have a tarnished word that has manipulated the purity of it in order to control the master, but rather we need to strip away from the impurities. That's what we're doing. We're stripping away from the impurities of false tradition and lies and turn back to the pure truth. Amen. Then we'll be built up according to his pattern shown. Hallelujah. He's so good to us. Amen. Let's get back to the pure, true word. He doesn't need no help with his word. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away. Listen, let's just give it our all. Let's just give our half a shekel. And he ain't talking about our money. He's talking about your life. Your half a shekel is your life. That's what I want you to give. You give it your all. Get away from the childish thinking, childish thoughts, childish speaking. Don't worry about who's doing this or who's doing that. When we all bring our all, progress. Don't worry about the ones that's bringing their some. Pray for the ones that's bringing their some. Don't talk about the ones that's bringing their some. Amen.